Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Jessica Tai and Julia Fellow.
Here we are. All right, I want to know what you think about this next story. You can text the Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. It's about a Rochester, New York district attorney under fire for issuing an apology after a police video shows her berating a police officer for pulling her over for speeding. And here is Will Reeve. Take a listen to his report.
Tonight, calls for an upstate New York district attorney to step down.
I'm the DA. I was going 55 coming home from work.
55 and a 35.
I don't really care.
Under fire for berating an officer during a traffic stop, captured on police body camera.
Can you stay over here, ma'am? This is a legal traffic stop.
Sandra Dorley, the Monroe County DA, whose jurisdiction includes Rochester, refused to stop after being caught speeding 20 miles over the limit, pulling into her garage.
Get out of my house.
Calling the local police chief before confronting the officer who tried to pull her over.
I'm doing my job. You say you're a DA?
I am the DA. Let me get you my badge.
And flashing her credentials.
You know what? If you give me a traffic ticket, that's fine. I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it.
Dorley apologizing for her behavior, saying she had no intention of using her position to receive a benefit. Now Governor Kathy Hochul asking for an investigation, saying Dorley has undermined her ability to hold others accountable for violating the law.
Oh, brother.
It was embarrassing. I mean, when you watch the video, I was embarrassed for her.
I know. The 847 says, yeah, that wasn't a good look on the DA. She agrees. She had a really well-produced apology video. Did you see it?
She says, I've been humbled by my own stupidity, and I am fully to blame. She kind of had to, right? I mean, you're the DA, and you've got this on video, and you're kind of caught in the middle. Yikes.
Here's part of it. Take a listen.
I didn't treat this officer with the respect that he deserved. All police officers deserve respect. I am truly and sincerely sorry. I had just come from work. I was dealing with three homicides that occurred over the weekend. I watched a video where an innocent cab driver was executed, and I was still reeling from a frightening medical concern that my husband received that afternoon. But we all have bad days and stress, and it was wrong for me to take it out on an officer who was simply doing his job. While I previously apologized to him, I will say it again. I'm sorry. Police already have a tough job, and that day I made this officer's job harder. I've been humbled by my own stupidity, and I'm fully to blame.
She pled guilty to speeding. She paid the ticket, and apparently she asked another DA to investigate it, and she has put herself into ethics training.
There you go. Well, I mean, when you listen to all of that, I think we can relate to her, right? I mean, everybody's had one of those days. You've had more than one of those days, right? Where, you know, things are going wrong, or you've had an emotional day for whatever reason. She was talking about some of the things that she'd seen, some of the tough cases she was on. We've all had days like that, right? Where all of a sudden you could just get worked up and maybe you say something or you don't act as wonderfully as you would like, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, when she's like, well, I'm the DA and this, and then she's like, you know, pulling out her badge.
Oh.
It's just like, you should know better, right?
So bad. 414, too little, too late. She should be removed from office. She can do private bar work. She's not credible as a district attorney any longer. You know, I did feel for her with whatever's going on with her husband. You know, I just shared the news of my husband being diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease. But when, I don't know, for me, when I get, you know, in my feelings, I get all bummed out. So I don't like lash out. So I don't know. Somebody does something different. I'd be like, oh, okay. I don't know.
You'd be like, I'm so sorry. I was speeding.
Yeah. I wouldn't keep driving. Whoa. That could have turned left in a second.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a good point right there too. Yeah. And it was all caught on video. You know, the police officers with the body cameras there. I'm just surprised that she didn't take a moment to take a little breather and to think about it.
I'm glad she apologized. It's 514 on WTMJ. Hey, coming up next, Southwest Airlines, so important to Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. It's our biggest airline that comes. There's some big changes coming ahead. We have Logan Hansen with Milwaukee Business Journal next. One more Ticket Tuesday. Jessica, we have three Ticket Tuesdays.
Woohoo! How fun is that?
Summer right around the corner.
State Fair will be here before you know it.
Exactly. We're teaming up with Wisconsin State Fair to send a lucky listener to see the Happy Together Tour Sunday, August 11th. Two VIP tickets, perfect seating, really private, all-inclusive there. Caller number
3 this time.
Okay. Caller
so
number
happy
3.
Together.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I won't sing again. I'm not a singer. But didn't you just feel the need to do that song?
Yes. Caller number 3, you will be our lucky winner. All right. Let's take a look at this next story. Southwest. Your husband is a pilot, right?
Oh, yeah, he is. I didn't know that was coming into this.
Not
for Southwest, but he is indeed a commercial pilot.
Wow. Okay, so you're probably really in tune with this. It's the biggest airline we have at Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. But the company just announced they're ending service at 4 airports. None of them are ours, but Logan Hansen, reporter with the Milwaukee Business Journal, shares how this could have ramifications here in Milwaukee. Logan, first tell me about the 4 airports that they're ending.
Yeah, so there are just 4 of the airports that are impacted, one in Houston and a couple out west, one in Washington, and then I believe one in Mexico. And
wow, that's pretty important, the one in Houston. I mean, that's a hub for United Airlines, for example. Why are they doing that?
Yeah, so it really just comes down to their first quarter just was not up to their standard that they were expecting. They were expecting a little bit more returns on that. And so they just had to make a decision. I think CEO Bob Jordan said it was just shy of their aspirations. And so they had to make these tough decisions and, you know, do a reshuffling, I believe, at O'Hare and Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta as well. So there's just, you know, some impact there for sure.
So what's the impact for people here?
Honestly, from what I've been told, that there really won't be major significant impact. There are at least 3 other airlines that go to these markets. So they shouldn't be too overall impacted. And I mean, month over month, kind of, there's not many flights that are going to be impacted year over year for Southwest in Milwaukee, just because they're mostly connecting flights to those. There aren't really any direct to these 4 airports, but yeah, there won't be a much significant change, but there will be change nearby. Like O'Hare has massive change coming along. It's from what I was told that MKE will have almost 2 times as many flights for Southwest due to the changes. So.
Okay, because that's the one thing that I was talking to you on the phone with, was taking a look at how is MKE Airport going to be affected. So what do you think could be there? What is one thing that might be something that could happen to us?
I mean, it really just depends on how the rest of the year goes, right? Like, it really just depends on, they could maybe down the line, like, put these lines back. You never really know. But it's just at this point, like, it's not, you're just going to have to find different airlines. Like, if you want to go to Houston, you might have to take, they have 2 major airports there. You might have to go to another airport if you want Southwest. If you don't mind where you're flying or what airline you're flying on, you might have to just land at a different airport there. So it's really just dependent on, you know, who the customer is, if you really do prefer Southwest or if you're willing to change it up just for a flight or two.
Well, we have a lot of families that fly out of Milwaukee on Southwest. They're going to Florida. You know, they want those nonstop flights. Have you guys seen also, when we're talking about Southwest Airlines this week, the news that they're considering doing away with open single-class seating on its aircraft? Because that's been such a big thing with Southwest, because they just have that one class of seating. And so if you're an A, you know, A through whatever, 20, you get on there, you get to pick your seat first. But if you're way in the back, you're just looking for a seat. So that's a big, that would be a big change for Southwest.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would be. I mean, I don't have any research on that myself that I can really lean on and say anything about that, but that would definitely be a change. And with all the families that, like you said, Milwaukee families are reliant on that ability. So it would be a massive change. And obviously it's something that Southwest is looking at based on their first quarter here.
And yeah. Julia, you fly. I mean, you've flown Southwest, I imagine.
I love Southwest. John doesn't, but I love it. They're going to be thinking about changing some of the boarding as well, like how they board. It's not going to be, you know, and they'll have actual seats and everything. So it seems like they're doing a total overhaul, but that was kind of the charm of Southwest, all of these things. And I wonder if they're going to charge for baggage claim. There was some other things that there's some other rumors. Are they doing that bad?
I don't know if I would define it as being that bad or anything else. Obviously, there's just been a shuffle of what they have to do and where they have to get their money, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes. But right now, it's just they really have to hope that this gives them that growth that they kind of missed out on this first quarter.
Well, any change is hard. Doesn't matter what company you're with sometimes. So I imagine for everybody who loves Southwest, if they do make some changes, it's going to be a tough transition in the beginning, as it would for anybody. If one of the other major companies came out and said, you know, forget you getting a seat, everybody's just going to go on and pick their seats. For those airlines, that would be a massive change. So Southwest is something different. It's going to be a move that we'll have to wait and see if it indeed happens and how people react if it does.
Logan Hansen, reporter with Milwaukee Business Journal, thank you so much for sharing your world with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. You know, something else that's going to be happening, a former president may be flying into Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport tomorrow, former President Donald Trump. So we are staying on top of that. We have Wyatt Farmer-Pooley who will be there. He's going to be speaking at 1 p.m. So at this time tomorrow, we'll have Wyatt on talking about what the president said. We have some foreshadowing of what he's going to talk about.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because you have former President Donald Trump in trial. Now he's actually out. They've stopped court for the day. But Wednesdays are the days where the judge has said, I've got to work on some other stuff. Usually judges do that. I mean, it sounds weird that there's no court for the Trump trial on Wednesdays, but judges do typically take one day of the week to work on their other cases, because as massive as this case is for Trump, it's not the only case that this judge has. So he's designated Wednesdays as a day off for the trial. They actually had Monday off as well, which was a little different this week. So they were in trial today. They're off tomorrow. And that means Donald Trump has a chance to get back on the campaign trail. And he's coming here to Waukesha, the Waukesha County Expo Center. He'll be there at 2:00 tomorrow afternoon. And then he'll be flying back real quickly to be back in court.
I wonder how much of the court he'll talk about, or if he'll even talk about it at all.
I imagine he will say something
because
he's been critical of a lot of stuff. And I mean, he's even complained about, you know, the temperature in the courtroom. So I imagine that we'll get something, even if it's just a little jab or a little joke. There'll be something.
All right. We'll be covering it. It's 525 on WTMJ, Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Debbie will get you home. We'll get you your weather and also your top stories. Next.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ. I'm a woman,
baby, all right. I need a man. Fantastic. Meteorologist Kristen Kershane joins us. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, I'm dancing along. I like it.
There you go. Female fierceness today on the show.
Yes. Kristen, we have all women. It's myself, like Jessica Tye's filling in for John. We have Debbie Lozaga and Sam Butson, who's producing. Can you believe it? And you!
The stars aligned and we all get to be together. I like it. I like it. Beautiful weather outside today, right, you guys?
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, Mother Nature.
Did you get to go outside? Did you get to go out?
No, not at all.
Just getting here to work in the parking lot.
My cactus
Isn't
plant.
Isn't that the worst?
My cactus plant got to enjoy some of the sun. I took it out and I had it on the ledge.
Oh, okay. All right. It. There you thankful. Go.
That's about it.
I put a few of my plants outside today, actually. Some of my gardening plants that I'm growing from seeds. So, yeah, at least our plants are enjoying the weather while we're at work today.
I will tell you this much, Kristen. If you park in the top level of our area, you don't walk out and see cement. You walk out and see the sky. So I specifically, even though I knew I was going to be here later to fill in with Julie, I specifically parked on the top. So when I walk out, I still see just a little bit of sun that's left, so I'm going to enjoy that moment.
Love it. Thinking ahead. You know, I do it on the nice days. I park in a farther parking spot away, so I get to enjoy that extra 15 seconds, you know, to and from the car. See, we're thinking ahead.
So, Jessica used to work at CBS 58. I worked with Kristen Kershane for years on the morning show.
Yeah, TMJ.
Yeah, we were on the weekend morning show together.
That is so fun. So it's nice to always talk to a friend on air, too. This wonderful weather, it's not lasting too much longer, is it, Kristen?
Actually, Tomorrow doesn't look too bad.
We're gonna have
some rain that comes through overnight, but pretty low impact because it comes in late. And so it's out of here by the time that we're out the door tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's high 70. Pretty nice. It's gonna be a windy day though. Okay. So it's not as nice when it's so windy. So wind gusts in the afternoon, like 30 to 40 miles an hour. So heads up, ponytail day, okay, with the wind. Then Thursday, some showers, a couple of thunder showers, and it is going to be cooler on Thursday, especially by the lake, around 60, a little warmer inland. Friday, some rain around in the morning. Rest of the day looks good, though. Temps in the upper 60s. Over the weekend, just a low chance for some showers on Saturday. High temps in the 60s. So we're trending much more steady as far as the temperatures go. This last week was a roller coaster. We had anything from 40s to 80 in the last seven days. We were really all over the place. So now the temperature is going to be a little more consistent for us here.
That was terrible. Hey, I know that you mentioned tonight, but we still have scattered showers possible throughout tonight.
Yeah, so most of the rain will hold off until after 9 o'clock, and then the showers are going to move in to our western counties first. But I would say for anybody who's headed out to Deer District, or anybody who has plans tonight, by the time that you're leaving the game, you know, closer to 11 o'clock, if you're still out around midnight, some of those showers are going to be moving through.
Well, for people actually watching on the big screens out in the Deer District, have you ever done that? I mean, I love going to the games, but if you can't be in the seat, to be out there in the Deer District and to watch on the TVs, that's a blast.
Kristen. You're like outside watching TV?
Yeah, especially during the pandemic when they had mm-hmm. the tables out there and you could just watch. I mean, that was so much fun. So early, if you're out in the Deer District early, it's still going to be amazing. But later tonight, it could be hit or miss.
Yeah, and the other thing is bring a jacket. If you are going to plan to be in one of those outdoor spots, I think that's cool if you can watch TV from outside. That's kind of neat. But the lake breeze has set in, and so it is going to be cooler this evening. We know in the spring, the lake breeze, cooler by the lake. So it's probably going to be in the 50s through most of this evening for people who are hanging out at Deer District.
TMJ4 News meteorologist Kristen Kershane, my favorite friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, Kristen.
She is.
Yes,
she's my favorite.
I miss you, Julia.
I miss you, too. All right. Will I talk to you tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. Nope. It'll be back to Niz. So
all right.
We got to be together for one day.
He's been off a lot of days. All right. Thanks, Kristen.
I think he's doing something cute, like teaching his kids soccer.
Oh, I got to ask him about that tomorrow.
I know.
That's so adorable. He's a great girl dad. All right, Kristen. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
It's 5:43 on WTMJ. Former President Donald Trump fined for violating a gag order. We've been waiting to find out what the judge's decision would be. We have ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks joining us on the line. Royal, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Judge's patience has run out. He was presented with 10 possible violations of the gag order, which said, "Thou shalt not speak ill of witnesses or jurors." And the judge agreed with the DA that at least in 9 of those 10 cases, Trump had violated the rule, $1,000 a pop. And the judge said, and by the way, I'll jail you for contempt if you keep doing this. And we're going to have a hearing on additional allegations for more purported violations of gag order. That's going to be Thursday morning. So more to come on the gag order front.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks joins us on the line right now. So happy that you're with us. You've been following every step of this case. Can you tell us about, so there were 10. It would be a $1,000 fine for each of them. He was fined for 9. So that's $9,000. Do you know what some of them were that they were the most egregious?
Yeah, basically, Donald Trump's been going after Michael Cohen. And so he says that the guy's a liar and he's been convicted of perjury and so on. So the judge challenged Donald Trump's lawyer in court recently. The lawyer said, well, Donald Trump was just responding to attacks by the witnesses. And the judge said, well, what exactly were these attacks by Cohen? And Donald Trump's lawyer didn't have the examples. And the judge got very impatient, said, you really lost credibility with me. So that's what it's about. I mean, the judge acknowledged that Donald Trump has a point in this sense. If a witness like Michael Cohen goes on network TV and starts trashing Donald Trump, the judge agrees that Donald Trump may well have a right, even though there's this gag order saying don't say anything bad about witnesses. He may have a right to fight back. But so far, the judge hasn't seen examples of the attacks by witnesses. Then, of course, there are the jurors. Donald Trump suggested that the jury pool was a bunch of left-leaning activists who just want to get Trump. And that was a violation of the judge's order. So a lot of statements by Trump. The weird thing is Donald Trump possibly would invite incarceration because just as his indictments and his mugshots, his fingerprinting helped him last year raise money and go rocket up in the polls, he may feel that this would help. I mean, the Trump TV ads would write themselves. Donald Trump is behind bars, put there by a Democrat DA and a Democrat judge. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is jetting around the country campaigning. So maybe Donald Trump would like it if the judge put the hammer down and actually put him in jail.
You know, I've been on TikTok every day, and it seems like Michael Cohen's on all the time, live streaming. How is he allowed to do that if he's going to be a witness in this case?
Well, he, as a witness, is entitled to exercise his right to free speech. He is not entitled to hobnob and confer with other witnesses in the case because judges often say, now, you know, we don't want you tailoring your testimony. Unless and until he attacks Donald Trump, the judge would say Trump may not respond. Now, interestingly, on your point, I just saw this morning that Michael Cohen has said, out of respect to the judge and the prosecutors, I'm going to stop talking on social media about Donald Trump. So you're right. There have been lots of attacks on TikTok and elsewhere. But as of now, maybe Michael Cohen is changing his strategy because you know, before too long, he'll be having his star turn on the witness stand. And frankly, all the stuff that's going on today, it's interesting. It's showing that Donald Trump's campaign was in panic mode. Leading up to the presidential election in November 2016, thus giving a motivation to possibly lie and break the rules with respect to the Stormy hush money. But that's preliminary. The main event of this case is going to be Michael Cohen getting on the stand and looking the jury in the eye and saying, look, there's no smoking gun document that proves that Donald Trump knew we were falsifying records. But I'm here to tell you we talked about it, and he did know it, and it's obvious. Common sense tells you he would know it. And then Trump's lawyer will cross-examine him, and however that exchange turns out might dictate the verdict in this case.
So, Royal, here we are. Former President Donald Trump now fined $9,000 for violating the gag order. If he continues with his violations here, he could be jailed. Is the judge also trying to send a message?
Absolutely. His message is, I get it that you're the former president and you're running for the office again. I get it that that's super important. But even more important is that this trial and the criminal justice system in general can operate without intimidation and fear. You got to operate by following the rules, my rules as the judge. That's the message I think that the judge is trying to send to Donald Trump. The fact that the judge has no use for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump has been in a running feud with the judge. That's just makes it all the more pointed, kind of more attention grabbing for the public. But you know, this kind of thing happens in regular run of the mill cases where judges lose patience with lawyers or witnesses and get pretty angry.
I see the judge is off the bench now that Trump has left the courtroom, so they're wrapped up for the day. Eric Trump, though, the first family member to attend Trump's trial.
Yeah, interestingly, Donald Trump has been in court with his lawyers, of course, but people have noticed that he looks kind of alone and kind of lost and not in his usual in-command situation. And observers have speculated that the strategy shifted this week for Donald Trump's side, where he has a much larger retinue and bodyguards, and Eric Trump, as you say, is the very first family member to attend. So I think they're just trying to present a more muscular image to contrast the idea that he's sitting there sort of helpless at the mercy of the judge, can't really speak, can't really do anything.
That's the one thing I've been wondering where the kids have been. Yeah, because they're always by their dad. So that makes sense that that at least one of the children showed up. So where are we in the hush money trial? It looks like we're off tomorrow. Trump is visiting Waukesha tomorrow in Wisconsin. So where are we in the trial?
Yeah, so this judge operates on the basis of 4 days a week. He takes Wednesdays off to handle other cases. He's not playing golf. And so Donald Trump will take advantage of that opportunity to go do some campaign rallies. Then we're back with the contempt hearing Thursday and some more testimony the rest of Thursday and Friday. And then it gets kind of interesting because we thought it was going to be, maybe 6, 7, 8 week trial. This judge is moving things along quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if we get Michael Cohen on the stand the next few weeks, and we could have a verdict not by Flag Day in mid-June, but by Memorial Day.
Oh, wow. All right, Royal Oaks, ABC's news legal analyst, thank you so much for joining us on the line. I appreciate it.
You bet. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. By the way, President Donald Trump is visiting Wisconsin tomorrow, expected to talk right when Wisconsin's midday news with Jessica Tai and Greg Matzik will be wrapping up at 1 p.m. I've covered him on several visits. We'll be covering this visit. Wyatt Barmapouli will be joining us on Wisconsin's Afternoon News to wrap up where he plans to be in Waukesha. He'll be at the Waukesha County Expo Center. So there's a lot for him to talk about. We'll see if he talks about this trial as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're actually a shortened show, Wisconsin's Midday News, tomorrow because of the Brewers game.
Oh,
the Brewers bounce us a little bit. But speaking of sports,
I know.
Bucks fans, ooh, get loud tonight inside Pfizer Forum because we've got to do this. We have got to get the win, and it's going to be tough.
I know.
With Dame and Giannis being questionable at this point, this is it. If we don't win tonight, our season is over. And let me tell you what, that is so sad. So I am keeping the faith. Let's get loud tonight.
We have to, because this is the one home game that they have until, maybe game 7 on a Saturday. So hopefully it goes to game 7, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Keeping our fingers crossed. And you know what? We have some. Here's the thing. We've got our main stars we haven't been able to see in the playoffs here, which is so disappointing. I said it before. I mean, having Giannis out was one thing, but then having Dame, like, in street clothes, sitting second row, not playing, was just, I mean, it made me so bummed. And then you had Bobby Portis, who got ejected and was kicked out of the game last time. So no ejections tonight for the Bucks, please. We need all of our guys. But I will say, man, I mean, they were close. Every guy, well, most of the guys, really seemed to step up. I mean, we do have a deep team. So no matter what happens tonight, no matter who's out there, who's not, we can do it. We got to do it.
All right. Fear the deer. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us. It's 5:56 on WTMJ.